Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Praise God's holy name. Hallelujah.
Be seated. A warm welcome on a warm fall day. What gorgeous weather, and I understand it's supposed to last for most of the week. If you haven't been out in the countryside yet to see the leaves, they have been absolutely gorgeous for 2 or 3 weeks. They just don't seem to want to fall off the trees, so it's absolutely wonderful. I talked to 2 or 3 people who were out yesterday, so were we. Lots of color to see. I told you last week that we exceeded the $5,000 for Indwell, so of course we decided to extend the project till the end of October to try and get to $7,500, which would furnish 3 apartments in the new collaboration that's going on in South Street as time goes on. So if you haven't had a chance to donate, please do, if you'd like to help out. As I have said many times, it seems to me that Indwell is the perfect long-term model to address homelessness amongst us. And so I absolutely love every opportunity that we get to help them out to continue pushing that model. So if you would, that would be great. Next week is Founders Sunday number, there we go, 149. Yes, so next year is the 150th anniversary of St. James Westminster. So we will have a special celebration next week, and the Immobile Choir will be with us. On November the 6th is All Saints Sunday, The Venerable Ken Anderson, former rector of this parish, has been working on an All Saints sermon for several months now. Told me this week it's finished, so he will be preaching at both services on the 6th. On the 13th, we will mark Remembrance Sunday. And on November 20th, I'll put it this way. It's either my parting gift or my parting shot to you. We're going to have some fun on November the 20th. Baptism involved and all kinds of music and celebration. There's more to the day. The wardens will tell you a little bit more about that later on. But the worship that day will be, I think, quite interesting. So there's the things that are coming up on the calendar in the next little while for you to take note of. A moment of silent reflection, and we'll begin our worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord God, our Redeemer, who heard the cry of your people and sent your servant Moses to lead them out of slavery, free us from the tyranny of sin and death, and by the leading of your Spirit, bring us to our promised land. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service continues with the first reading from Scripture.
A reading from the book of Timothy. I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If there's anything that I think I do well, it's being a storyteller. I have been a storyteller my entire life. I've been in communications my entire life. I've spent my life learning how to tell a story in multiple ways. And you know, sometimes the stories are even true. There's something for you to think about as we go ahead in the homily today. The writers of the gospel are storytellers, very good storytellers. They tell the story very differently. If you compare the four gospels, you kind of go, did they all see the same things? No, they give their personal understanding and their ideas and help us to paint a bigger picture of what the gospel is. So those who were here last week will remember Hannah bemoaning, and I'm with her in some ways, bemoaning the fact that we're going through the parts of Luke's gospel that are unique to Luke. And they're very difficult to preach on. They're very difficult to figure out. And that's the purpose, I think, that Luke is working with here. Is he is trying to give us stories that will challenge us. He's trying to give us stories that will make us think deeply. He's giving us stories that it's not the answers that are important, it's the questions that are important. So many people get stuck in this passage of Scripture by going, well, you see, it was the tax collector, the bad guy that was praised. That's what we have to take out of this story. And that is absolutely, in my humble opinion, as humble as it is, absolutely the wrong answer. I've heard a lot of sermons preached on that. It's not either or, it's both and. So let's start with the two characters in the story. You have a Pharisee. One of the commentaries that I consult regularly, the entire thing was explaining why the Pharisees aren't as bad as what we have made them out to be, because it seemed that the Pharisees and Jesus were always clashing, but it wasn't necessarily that they were clashing, it was just that they were having different interpretations. They were telling different stories. The Pharisees were officials. They followed the traditions. They were, yes, somewhat socially upper in class. But they were dedicated. They followed what they knew and what they believed. The tax collector would be an outcast. In the Roman system, the Romans liked to use locals to do some of their dirty work. So the tax collectors, those who would collect Caesar's tax, were Jewish people who, like everybody else, was struggling, and not only did they get paid well, but there was a little bit of graft involved as well. So it was not unusual for the tax collector to collect what was owed to the government, but also the cut for the guards that went with him to protect him while he was collecting the taxes, and his own little bit. So he was seen as a traitor on a lot of different levels. The one thing that we forget about parables constantly, this is not a story. This isn't an actual story of a Pharisee and a tax collector. It's a made-up story to prove a point. And so when you're trying to prove a point with a story, you have all kinds of wiggle room to do what you need to do to make the point. So those who were familiar with the Pharisees would not have been overly surprised, probably, to hear that this Pharisee was standing up saying, I do good, I give all that I'm supposed to give, I follow all the rules, I have done so well, I'm really working hard to be who I am. They would not be surprised that the tax collector was going, oh, I'm sorry, I've not been very nice, I've caused a lot of problems and I'm wrong. Now run that into your lives. I can absolutely guarantee you there have been times in my life that I've stood up and went, look at me! Don't laugh, Esther. She remembers some of them very well. We've all done it, right? Anybody here that hasn't at some point in time in their life? I've kind of done it with great frequency sometimes, especially when you're in broadcasting. That's kind of the way you make your living, is being a little bit boorish. Is there anybody here that hasn't found themselves in that place where you know you were wrong? And you have to come before people that you know and love and say, I screwed up. That's the point of this story, is to remind everybody that we all do both on a regular basis. That it is part of all of us. That Luke finishes his parable, and if you want to have an interesting conversation with yourself, go home and look up the Matthew equivalent, which talks only about the Pharisee. Then again, Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience, Luke is writing to a Gentile audience, so they have the same story in different ways. So our immediate understanding, our immediate desire is to get the answer. And for Luke's purpose, the fact that the tax collector is seen as the good guy in the story, maybe that furthers his understanding. But it's not the point. The point is to understand that we are Pharisees and we are tax collectors. And at the end of the day, both are good and both are not good, and that is us. That's who we are. And it's one of the hardest things, I think, in life to deal with those two things, because there are times that we all want to stand up and say, I did a good job. I want you to notice that I did that because I'm proud of it. A lot of smiles, I see. I'm not the only one that's done that. But there's also those times when literally we come with our heads down, afraid to look up. So the parable is having us understand that about ourselves. It's not about the answers. It's about the questions that it raises for each of us in our lives. It's understanding the story of our life. So Hannah told us last week, it's hard to preach on Luke's gospel, and it is. It's frustrating. But one of the ways that you can find your way through it is there's one thing that I'll say about Luke amongst the four gospel writers. He is by far the best storyteller. Amen. As you are able, please stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I invite you to take a position that is comfortable for you in prayer, standing, sitting, or kneeling.
God has proclaimed his love for us. We can trust him with all our cares and concerns. Lord, heal the church of all its splits and divisions, and bless its growth toward unity, and bless its commitment to loving outreach. Have pity on us, Lord.
You alone can save us.
May our society be mindful of those who have particular difficulties. May our laws testify to our sense of justice, honor, and integrity. May the world's leaders be wisely advised and honestly motivated. Have pity on us, Lord. Walk about our homes with your gifts of peace, patience, forgiveness, and joy. Help us through the disappointments and tragedies, and celebrate with us in all our festivities. For you are our most honored guest. Have pity on us, Lord.
You alone.
We pray for those in our parish family. Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Bev Wethy, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Anna Woodson, Emerson Muir, Patrick Conroy, Eunice Smith, Rick, Rita, Rich, Al McMillian, John Fryer, Carol Jones, Monica, and Deb. We pray for all suffering from leprosy and other infectious and life-threatening diseases. Give courage to the long-term and chronically ill, and give respite to those who are at their wits' end. Have pity on us, Lord.
You alone.
We remember those who have died, especially Diana McFadden, and we think of their loved ones who miss them. May this earthly death be a birth into the eternal joy of heaven. Have pity on us, Lord.
You alone can save us.
With great thankfulness, we praise you for your constant faithfulness to us, your recognition of our deepest thoughts, and your desire for our healing and wholeness. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast. God is steadfast in love. God is infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to God's table. So let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
As you wish, share a sign of God's peace among us. Let us pray. God our guide, you have fed us with bread from heaven as you fed the people of Israel. May we who have been inwardly nourished be ready to follow you all our days. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who placed their hope in you, and so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we died with you on the cross. Now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb. Now we share in your resurrection. Live in us that we may live in you. All are welcome to receive communion in one or both kinds. The bread will be administered on this side, the cup on this side. If you prefer a blessing instead of receiving communion, just cross your arms across your chest like this. We do have a gluten-free option if that is what you need. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you, preserved by God. Let us pray. God of peace, you have nourished us in this sacrament with the body and blood of Christ. May we who have taken holy things keep faith in our hearts and lives. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God.
His power working in us and doing infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Just before the final blessing and the final hymn, you may have heard the expression that Anglicans are God's frozen chosen. Many clergy have been trying for years to get people to move just a little bit. Dancing is scriptural. There is dancing throughout scripture. Moving to enjoy the music is allowed. It is given permission for all to do so. 27 and a half years I've been asking and had a 98% failure rate. I'm asking you to consider. I'm the worst dancer in the world, and I'm going to bop down the aisle to the closing hymn. You can laugh at me, but dance with me. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be amongst us and remain with us this day and forevermore. Amen.